we could read some passage in the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark, chapter 2. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they couldn't come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their face, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive the sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sin be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed, and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he says to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. Verse 17. When Jesus heard it, he says unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Verse 22. No man puts new wine into old bottles, else the new wine does burst the bottle, and the wine is spilled, and the bottle will be marred. But new wine must be put into new bottle. We will read several passages through these various chapters. Chapter 3. He entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there with a withered hand. They watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he says unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he said unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked around about them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Chapter 3, verse 13. He goes up into a mountain and calls unto him whom he would, and they came unto him, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. Verse 20. And the multitude comes together again, so that they couldn't so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, He is beside himself. And the scribe which came down from Jerusalem said, He has Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casts he out devils. Verse 31. There came then his brethren, and his mother, standing without, sent unto him, calling him. The multitude sat about him. They said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, Who is my mother, my brethren? And he looked round about on them which sat about him, and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. And he began to teach by the seaside. There was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And then we have the parable of the sower. Chapter 4, verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. Verse 22. For there is nothing hid, it shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that he should come abroad. Verse 26. And he said, So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knows not how. For the earth brings forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Verse 35. And the same day when the even was come, he says unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of winds, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and say unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind of the sea obey him? And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who was his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with with chains, because that he had often been bound with fetters and chains. The chains had been plucked asunder with him, and the fetters broken in peace. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and days, he was in the mountain and in the tomb, crying and cutting himself with stones. Verse 15. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed, and his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Verse 22. And behold, there comes one of the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched him his garment, for she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Chapter 5, middle of verse 35. Thy daughter is dead. Why troubles do the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he says unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter, James, John, and John the brother of James. And he comes to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, sees the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly, when he was coming, he says unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleeps. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he takes the father and the mother of the damsel, and then that were with him, and enters in where the damsel was lying. Chapter 6, verse 2. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hand? Is it not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, brother of James and Joses, Judah, Simon, and are not his sister where? With us, here with us, and they were offended at him. Verse 7. And he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirit. Then, in this chapter 6, we have the story of Herod and the daughter of Herod. With John the Baptist, and we may read on verse 21, when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captain, chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced, and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And verse 25, she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. Chapter 6, 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and he was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And verse 45, straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. Verse 49, when they saw him walking unto the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. Verse 52, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. On Wednesday, we have seen some fundamental truth of the Christianism. And today I would like we consider also some fundamental point of the gospel, and of how Jesus, how God is dealing with men, with us, and with the disciple, and. I am not so much going today to present the gospel, and I hope that most of us here knows the salvation through Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior for all of us. And but I would like that we look at these passages of the gospel as a direct message for all of us, even for believers. And because we need to have a better understanding of the grace of God and how God is dealing with us. In the first passage we read was in the beginning of chapter 2, the miracle of the palsy man, which was brought through the roof by four men. And then we have the Lord telling him first, "Thy sin be forgiven thee," and then he healed the man, but not as a first action, but as a proof, as an evidence that he had the power to forgive sins. This first passage that we have read is introducing the fact that Jesus Christ came here not only with a new doctrine, not only with some just salvation for men, but there is something totally new with the Christianism. There is something that we have, all of us, we have to realize that we have not simply just a further doctrine, not just an improved doctrine over the other, but we have to realize what is the true kind of relation which should exist between us and between our Lord and Savior. And we have this very well summarized in the chapter 2, verse 17, when it is said there, Jesus said unto them, "They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." What we have to realize with this verse and with this healing of the palsy man is that it's not simply an issue of the salvation for each of us, but it is the new kind of relation that should be between us and between God, God our Father, and God and Father, or with our Lord Jesus. Is the question is: have we needs? Do we really feel that we have needs? And that we need the intervention, the action, the healing of our Lord and Savior. It is clear that the first issue and the first issue was the issue of sins, the issue of salvation, and not even the issue of good health, as this palsy man. And for us, it is also the first issue is not so much the health of our body, but it is first of all the health, the condition of our soul and spirit, and our Lord has first of all this in mind. But the key point in all this gospel and what our Lord Jesus was presenting, in which was new, is that he was not simply coming with a teaching, not simply coming with a doctrine. He was coming with power, with might, and being able to satisfy the need, to cope with the need of the persons, and the persons who were really getting benefit from the intervention, from the action of our Lord, were the person who felt their need and who were prepared, were accepting to ask to pray the Lord, to ask him for a direct action and intervention. And it is And we have to realize this. And this is an important point, because of course in this room there are many different people here. Most likely many of us have got a Christian education. Many of us have already heard of the Lord Jesus for our salvation. But now, and also due to this Christian education, it might well be that for many of us, there is, as for Job, a hedge of, for protection, of a kind of hedge of protection. We have been in circumstances where the Christian education has helped us in some ways. Now, the question is, are we just feeling that we are better than other people? Are we relying upon the edge of protection which is around us? Or do we feel like this person, that we are sick and that we have direct need from the Lord Jesus? And this is a key point. Are we just happy of our life, or have we real need that should be satisfied by the Lord? And then we will see that this is a key point, because in the Old Testament, God was asking people to obey to the law, to fulfill the law. And now, with the gospel and with the Christianism, and today it is the same, there is something completely new. That is to say, it has been proved that it is no longer possible to fulfill the law, to satisfy the law of God. And then, but nevertheless, there is this grace of God through Jesus Christ, which is presented to men. But we have to realize that the grace of God is not simply presented to sinners for salvation, but we need the grace of God during all along our life. We need to live, to survive by the grace of God, satisfying all our needs. And we have to have this attitude of these men, realizing that they have no power as the palsy man. We are all as those who realize that they are sick and need a physician. And then the Lord is prepared to intervene, to act for us, to heal, to give blessing. But if we just are happy with our life, we do not feel any special need. If we are happy that our parents have grown up a hedge for our protection, then we will have no intervention of our Lord and Savior in our life. We are not, if we are such, we are not realizing what is the grace of God. For even if we are more or less basically believers, we have even as believers, we have to realize the full and complete need of the grace of God all along the details of our lives. And it is not simply the grace which forgives the sins. It is, we have that in chapter 2, verse 22, with the no man puts new wine into old bottle, and the new wine does, else the new wine does burst the bottle and the wine is spilled, the bottle will be marred, but new wine must be put into new bottles. We have to realize that the Christianism and the grace of God is like this new wine which have a real power, and which is not at all the same as just commandment that we have to obey to or to fulfill in the Old Testament. This the real Christianism, the real Christian life, that we have to live and we which is for us is a real powerful life, not powerful because we are better or because we have power, but a powerful life because we realize that we have no strength, no might as the Palsyman, and that we rely totally and completely on the grace of God for action in our life. And this importance of the grace of God, even for believers, is to be not only to be understood, but we have to be convinced of that and to take benefit of that all during our life. Another point which we see permanently during the various passages that we have read is that the grace of God is never, I would say, almost never rebuked, never stopped by anything. There is nevertheless one point that we have seen in chapter 5 when he has made the healing of the unclean spirit whose name was Legion, and when there was such a healing and then the people asked him to go out of the country, then he went out according their demand, and then his power was no longer in action. And on this period, the unbelief is always slowing down or stopping the action and the might of God. But otherwise, even in this situation, the Lord Jesus went to another area, to another region, and he has developed his might for other people. And it is something which is very encouraging also, that the grace of God is always willing to reach other and other people. Let us take benefit of it. And if we don't take benefit of it, it will go to other. But the grace will act certainly in favor of men. Another point which is during the various passages that we have read, it is impressive precisely to see each time there is the Lord Jesus is doing something good, is doing a healing, is doing a blessing for men. Each time there is either unbelief, either criticism, or also violence against him. We have sometimes it is just despising him because he's just a carpenter or the son of carpenter. Sometimes it is really unbelief asking him to go out of the country. Sometimes there is the enemy Satan is producing a storm on the sea, and the ship is almost sinking in the sea. But each time when we have these circumstances, Lord Jesus is never stopping in his action, and we have always the grace which is over-given, more abundant than previously. We have this also we have this also in the at the end of chapter 4, where even we have the disciple thinking that master was going to perish, and thereafter he's healing this unclean spirit with much power than before. But just after he has made in the chapter 6, we have read that he was despised by his own. What is chapter 6, verse 2, what is this man, this thing, and what is wisdom in this which is given to him? Is it not the carpenter? And he sent them the 12, chapter 6, verse 7. So it is not only a simple blessing that he's giving, but it is a blessing multiplied by 12, sending 12 disciples to do much more. And immediately after, we have this story of the killing of John the Baptist by Herod and by his poor daughter, who asked her mother to get the head of John the Baptist. And this is a typical event, because we have God doing his best to bless the people, to bless the men on the earth, and the answer to that is of the worst kind, is killing one of the best witnesses, which is John the Baptist. And what happened after this killing of John the Baptist is our Lord and Savior stopping his service for men. Not at all. It is immediately after this killing of John the Baptist that we have in chapter 6, verse 34, Jesus moved with compassion toward the people because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And then there is the multiplication of the loaves and fishes. And there is an overabundant blessing. And God is not stopped even by the worst action of the man killing one of the best witness of that time. And this is a very important way a very important point to understand how God is dealing with men now. Even we have to understand this grace, which is display and which is acting in favor of men, even in the worst condition, and even when the violence of men is developed against the servant of God. Another point that we have to understand, also to see during these various passages, is the action, the position of the religious men. And it is impressing, because we have permanently during these various passages, we have permanently the religious men who are objecting to what the Lord is doing, objecting to his capacity of healing, to his ability of healing. They are objecting to his person, either because he's healing on the Sabbath day, or because he's just a carpenter, or because he has not learned the law. There is plenty of reason to tell why the Lord shouldn't do what he's doing. And it is a very important point during all these passages to realize and understand that the religion is not improving the man, but is making the men more opposed to the Lord, more opposed to the true power of the grace, more opposed to the grace. And we have heard yesterday that in Jamaica it is considered as something good to be Christian. I think that in Europe is the reverse way, and in some country, I am speaking of France, but in some country it is even worse. We are at a time where there is more and more direct opposition against the gospel, against the word of God, and against the Christianism. And even if some of our country are more or less preserved, we have not to have any illusion. We are in a time where situation is getting worse and worse, and the opposition we are getting from the stage of indifference to the word of God to the stage of opposition to the word of God. But again, we have to learn from these passages that this doesn't stop the Lord. If there is opposition, if there is unbelief, no problem, he go to other people. But the grace of God is always active. Now, there is another point which is very important in these various passages is I would first give a word about chapter four. In chapter four, we have seen these parables of the parable of the sower, and we see that in the fruit. The Lord Jesus was no longer seeking fruits from his people Israel. He was sowing the word of God, and it is said that this word of God is bringing forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100, and furthermore, it is a little bit further. It is said. It is said that verse 26 of chapter 4, he said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knows not how, for the earth brings forth fruit and of herself." Now, here it is not presented as in Matthew, that the man is sleeping, and because of his sleeping, there is producing of tares. Here, it is the work of God. We could think that God or Lord Jesus is sleeping. Nothing happened apparently, but nevertheless, the harvest is growing. The fruit is produced, and this is also a very important point of our understanding how God is dealing with us and how God is dealing in this world. Even if there is no big appearance, even if there is no big things which are done, the work is done by the Lord. And with a big multiplication, hundredfolds. And then it is also important because at the beginning the Lord was coming to present the kingdom, present this healing and this total, present this healing and this total reversal of the power of the enemy, and then he was rejected more or less, and that's why there is this parable of the sower and the Lord Jesus coming and sowing the word of God. And we And we could be a little bit surprised and thinking also what is just giving words to people and nothing more. And we have to realize the real power of the Word of God. And this belongs also to the grace that we have to understand. We have to be convinced of in the souls of men. And it is a question of faith for us to realize this power of God. We are in a time of ruin. There is no question about that. There will not be a display of power, of might, as in other times. But nevertheless, if there would be a big appearance of power, then there would be we or the Christian would take that as an opportunity to be more to get pride or to attribute that to themselves and not to the Lord. So things will certainly have no appearance, but even if there is no appearance, even if it is in the secret, even if it is not seen by other people, we have to have this faith in the Holy Spirit and in the power of the Word of God. And it is what we see here also. And nevertheless, then, when there is this power, this action of the Word of God, then what is the relation with the people? We have that in we have this example in chapter 5. We have read about the chief of the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, and the woman who had an issue of blood during 12 years. And this is a good example, because we had a mighty man, like this ruler of the synagogue, with an official position. We have this poor woman having lost all her money during 12 years paying the physician for nothing. And both of them had no other option than to go to the Lord, to ask him to pray and to get the blessing. And the Lord is just prepared to give this blessing. The other people do not understand. He has, even when he is going to heal the young girl, he has to put out all the other people in the house, because they were laughing. They were not believing that he was able to heal. But we have to be in the same mind as this ruler, this Jairus, or this woman with the issue of blood. Have we real need that we are going to present to the Lord? Are we really realizing that we have no other option than to go to the Lord and to pray for it? We know that we have to pray. Maybe we are making our prayer on morning, on evening. We are making our prayer before the meal. Okay, but do we realize more deeply that in the whole and every detail of our life, we need this intervention of the Lord to get the real response that we need for all our life? And this is an important point. And even if it is no longer the time for the Lord to get the kingdom, to be recognized as the king, even if he has been rejected, if he is just simply sowing the word in the country, nevertheless, there is no other way than to go to the Lord, to ask to him, and to get the blessing. And really, we have to realize, each of us, that we are not in a better condition than this Jairus. We have to realize that we are not in a better condition that this woman with the issue of blood. There is a difficulty for many of us. We have been in Christian family. We have got this hedge of protection against us, and there might be the tendency to think that, well, finally, we are a little bit better than the other person. We have not so much need than the other sinners of the world. And we have to realize that we are all at the same level. And as Job in his book, we have to realize, as at the end of the book, I abhor myself, I repent with ashes and sackcloth, which is for the Old Testament the same wording as we have in Romans chapter 7, verse 18. In myself there is nothing good. And we have to realize that. And we have to realize the power of the grace, which is not simply the grace forgiving our sins to get salvation. But we have to realize this grace of God, which we need for each and every step of our life. And every action, every stage, every step, every minutes of each day. And really, this is a way of understanding the Christian life that we need, each of us, and there is a difficulty to realize that, especially for those who have been got a Christian education with good parents, because each time we have a good education with good Christian parents, then immediately there is a tendency to say, well, we are not so bad. We are a little bit better than the other, but there is no other way to have a real good Christian life than to be as this ruler of the synagogue and this woman with the issue of blood. Now, there is another point which I have to go quicker because of the time, but I would like to make the following point. There is, when we read all these passages, and we have not gone through the rest of the gospel, there is permanently the attitude of the disciple is always impressive, because it is permanently an attitude of unbelief. When they are with the Lord in the boat in the storm on the sea, they believe that everybody will sink and that they are lost. Then, at a further point of the gospel, when the Pharisees are presenting the tradition against the grace of the Lord regarding the washing of hands before eating, the disciples are coming to the Lord and saying, well, why are you saying that the uncleanness is coming from the inner part of the man? We don't understand that. And we see each time we see this disciple, we have this attitude on the chapter 3, verse 21, when his friend heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. We have already mentioned that in the when he's asleep in the boat during the great storm of wind, Master, they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And they were even believing that the Lord Jesus could perish in a boat. When he's healing the young girl, we have spoken of that already in the chapter 5, verse 40, when they are when he's seeing that the damsel is not dead but sleeping, they laughed at him to scorn. And when he's in chapter 6, we have also during a storm again, he is walking upon the sea, verse 48, he's walking upon the sea, and when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, they cried out. And there is this sad verse on verse 52, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. And it is hardened for the disciple, the 12 disciples, which had been during months so close with him. And they were in this situation. But what is very surprising, and most, and we have to learn a lot from that. Let us look at this chapter 6, verse 37. We have all these people and this multitude, and the Lord has compassion of them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. Verse 24 of chapter 6. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place. Now the time is far past. Send them away that they may come into the country round about and into the village and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." He answered and said unto them, "Give ye them to eat." Now, this sentence is very important. He's telling the disciples that these disciples were to give food to this multitude. Now, why does the Lord give such an order to his disciples? Because they have made progress, because now they are in a situation to understand the power of God, because they are better than in the past? Not at all. Not at all. It is just after that they are afraid of the Lord walking on the sea and consider that it is a spirit, ghost. It is immediately after that it is said that they didn't consider the miracle of the loaves. Their heart was hardened. And it was to these disciples, in this poor condition, that the Lord is saying, "Give ye them to eat." And this is very important to understand for us, very important, because the Lord is asking us to work for him. Is he asking us to work for him because we are skilled workers, because we have a high level of gift, because we are sophisticated people with a lot of intelligence? Not at all. He's asking these disciples to work for him because they had only two fishes and five loaves in their hands. Absolutely nothing more. Intelligence? No intelligence. Faith? Practically none. Good heart for the Lord? Only a hardened heart. And we would say, well, with such people, there is nothing to do. It's better to forget these people and to take others which are in a better shape. And the Lord is doing not at all that. He's taking that, saying to them, "Give ye them to eat." And it is, we have to realize that we are at the level of this disciple. And when we realize that, we are not better than that, we have no other way than to rely upon the real grace of God. Not the simple classical grace for salvation, but the grace that we need at each and every step of our life. Now, we have no longer time. There would be a lot of things to consider in the same direction. There is a second multiplication of the bread, and apparently the disciples have no more faith than the first time. There is in the chapter there is one person who gets a great answer to her request. It is the person, the woman in chapter 7, verse 24 to 30, the woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit in the border of Tyre and Sidon. And this woman was considering that she was at the level of the dogs, getting just the piece of bread under the table of the master. And such a person, realizing that she's in such a poor and miserable condition, this person has a great answer to her, because she has a better and full understanding of the grace of God. Even after the big presentation of the Lord on the mountain of the Transfiguration, when the Lord is showing himself in full, in almost full glory as in kingdom, nevertheless, immediately after, we have the disciple not able to heal and the young, which has it is in chapter 9, verse 17, the son which has a dumb spirit, and then they go to the Lord, and we have this word of the Lord on chapter 9, verse 19, which is, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? And there is this word of the Lord after that on verse 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. And there is this wording in the Darby translation, Jesus said to him, if thou couldst is believe. The issue is not whether the Lord can or cannot, the issue is believe. Believe why? Because we have more power, because we know better the word of God, because we have attended this conference and we have an improved level of Christian knowledge. Not at all. Believe on why? Just because there is the grace of God, we have a need, and the Lord is able to satisfy this. So let us keep that in mind permanently, the grace of God, which is never stopped, even by the unbelief, except that when there is unbelief, the grace of God is going elsewhere. Let us remind also of this opposition, a permanent opposition of the religious men, and this opposition is growing and growing, worse and worse. And we have to have no illusion on this issue, but let us be as Job, as these poor women of Tyre and Sidon, relying only upon on the word of God, the power of God, realizing that we have need for all and every detail of the life. It is the only way to have a full blessing, not only for us individually, but also for our family and our assembly.